I'm Maria with the Why, and welcome to Startup to Success, where I navigate through the whys behind entrepreneurship for anyone looking to start or scale their business.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Dennis Guy, who's the founder and CEO of First Sip Brew Box, a distribution and creative video production business based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Dennis and Emma, please welcome to the show. How are you?
Fantastic. Glad to be here. I'm so happy Emma reached out to you and we found you out there in the ether. Emma is our policy and communications folks over here at First Sip Brew Box. And if you're out there and you have a platform, Emma will find you.
Yes.
Emma, thank you. Fine. Thank you for connecting us together. It's such a privilege. I can't wait to dive into, my God, I mean, honestly, I'm super thrilled about this. So I'm going to start off with my first question. The reason why you are here, the reason why First Sip Brew Box is here, Dennis, tell us what inspired you.
Oh, well, Maria, in order to tell that story, we have to jump into our time machine and go about 6 years ago in the past, when myself and my wonderful wife, Sammy, we were on a trip to the Smoky Mountains, Bryson City, North Carolina. And on that trip, we fell in love with a craft brewery. It was, you know, small mountain town. It was kind of a social gathering of folks getting off of work because everything else in the town closed at 8 p.m. The brewery was the only spot that was open. There were kids playing board games, dogs running around. It was amazing. And the beer was great. So we kind of fell in love with the idea of craft beer at that point. So on the way home, we were just playing around, spitballing. If we were to start a brewery, what would we call it? And organically, we came up with First Sip, because you know you like something from the first sip. Now, fast forward a little bit, we wanted to start that brewery, but then we realized how capital intensive it is, you know, $500,000 to $1 million to start that brewery. And, you know, we're small family. We don't have access to that kind of capital. So we had to pivot and we were like, okay, well, we can't do this, but we still want to be a part of this wonderful industry. So we pivoted to focus on, okay, we could send beer in the mail. That's easy. Wrong. It's just as hard and difficult as starting a brewery, even more so capital intensive, because you have to have a whole legal team, because every state treats alcohol sales differently. Okay. And a lot of big companies out there that are currently sending beer out in the mail, I don't want to be the one to say this. Actually, I do, because I researched it and I fear most of them are doing it illegally. But the states have no idea what, you know, how the follow up on it. Like, it's still somewhat new sending beer in the mail. So we didn't want to go down that route. And the state of Pennsylvania, our wonderful pilgrim state, told us, hey, Dennis, if you do want to send beer in the mail in Pennsylvania, you know, just within the state, how about you buy a warehouse or a restaurant? Then you could spend, tens of thousands of dollars on the right permits. And it just felt like we kept hitting wall after wall after wall to just get to the point where we could start our own, you know, our own business and be a part of the craft beer industry. It felt like a pay to play system. Mm-hmm. So we knew if we wanted to do this, we had to start something that's never been done before. And that's kind of how we came up with First Sip Brew Box. Instead of worrying about the beer and tripping over everyone else that's figuring out how to do that, we wanted to do something different. So with First Sip Brew Box, we work with craft breweries and businesses all over the world that make unique things out of beer and the breweries themselves. So we'll work with small woman-owned, veteran-owned, Black-owned artists out there to help design some of this merchandise, some of the glassware, some of the art that we have inside of the brew box. And then we find all those unique small businesses out there that make like beer pretzels, beer soaps, beer jellies, all kinds of stuff. So we evolved from this idea of starting a brewery because you like something from the first sip to creating more of a brand and marketing and storytelling platform that introduces you to new things to see if you like it from the first sip. So it's not even, you know, it doesn't even have to do with liquids anymore. It's more or less a metaphor to introducing our subscribers to new ideas, new thoughts, new businesses out there with the stories that we tell within the brew box. So that's kind of how we came up with First Sip, and we've been rocking and rolling ever since.
What an inspiring story. And what I love about it is that you didn't stop and you didn't take the no and just stop right there. If anything, you came up with an idea that actually helps other small businesses who might not have the capabilities of marketing their own brand, or they're just too small. Mom and pop are doing it from their home. Now you have this platform that shines a light on these amazing people creating amazing products. Wow, 100%. Inspiring. Well, tell me a little bit about your background. Do you have any marketing experience? You sound like
great. Great question. So no marketing experience per se. Just a huge nerd and just love, you know, absorbing as much information. But right out of high school, I joined the United States Army, the PA Army National Guard. It was shortly after 9/11. So just felt that, you know, come from a military family and just felt that calling that I had to not just sit by and just talk about what was happening in and around our country and the world. I wanted to, you know, be a part of that and figure out like, how can I help? And so I joined the military as an engineer. Well, initially as commo, again, big nerd. I just wanted to operate radios and that kind of stuff. And they changed up my job to make me an engineer operating heavy machinery. So like construction equipment, that kind of stuff. But once when I finished up there, I went into sales, and sales and marketing, they don't have to be enemies, even though I don't understand why so many large corporate organizations like pin them against each other. Not saying they do it purposefully, but it's just the culture, you know. Sales is, well, you're not doing enough marketing. Well, you're not doing enough sales, you know, and just taking that knowledge. So I was in the sales sphere for a little over a decade, about 12 years, in many different industries, in banking and SaaS sales, the oil field. I went out to actual oil rigs and sold different surveys to help them figure out exactly where they were drilling, whether how close they were to other oil wells or lease lines for different properties. So definitely have done a lot. But what really kicked off like the thought of first at Brewbox outside of our trip and our journey was when I was a branch manager in banking, you know, working with all these small businesses, hearing their stories. And on banking, since there's a legality behind it, I had to know all the paperwork that they need to start a business, to open up a bank account, like all that stuff. And it hit me. I was like, oh man, I actually know legally how to start a business. And that's kind of where it kicked up. And our whole mantra is the best friend of a small business is another small business. So that's what kind of led into us creating our platform the way that we have.
I love that. You know, I sort of went through a similar thought process with Globify when the pandemic hit. My agency at first, I used to work for New York Times, and I used to be the director of the execution team, overseeing all of our mega influencer marketing campaigns. And when I decided to leave New York Times and start my own agency, I was honest with them. I said, hey, I'm leaving. I'm starting an agency. I have this idea for a city takeover marketing campaign, and that's what I want to implement in my agency. And they said, oh, we love it. Can we become your clients? And they became my first clients. But and somehow after them, I ended up getting, you know, Fortune 500 companies as clients. But my initial plan was always to help the smaller guys, like the smaller businesses. And every time I would take a small business on board to help them with their marketing efforts, I felt like I was literally spending money to help them with marketing. It was just so challenging because in order, you know, if I wanted to do podcast advertising for them, I had to make sure that their website was, you know, pretty much ready for consumers to go online and purchase it directly. What's the purpose of sending them to different stores? A podcast host cannot send a customer to, like, you know, the pharmacy there and the pharmacy, like, you need one designated place. Mm-hmm. And so to sum it up, I, you know, with the pandemic, I decided that really forced things because everything changed. And all of a sudden I realized so many small businesses are going out of business. And I started just helping with webinars and courses. So I found a way that's time efficient for me as an agency owner, as an agency, and it's scalable too, where I can reach more people and help them, where before I was trying to help them one-on-one and it was just I was spending a lot of money. It was right. Not smart. So tell me a little bit about the business model. You know, it's very interesting. I can't wait to hear how you sort of simplified it, because it seems so complicated from the outside, but I'm sure you've got a simple model in place.
Absolutely. And that's the only way to scale it, right? If it stayed complicated, there's no way to know where the inefficiencies are and what part to build out first. So essentially the FirstSip platform. So you have FirstSip. It is the ideation, the creative. We're all about storytelling. And so from there, once when we bring on a client that knows they have a problem, but they don't know how to solve it, they know they have these obstacles and they're curious how FirstSip can help them. So once we diagnose what that problem is, together we figure out, all right, so is it a product campaign strategy? Because we have a distribution system, unlike most creative content creation agencies, we actually have a distribution system through FirstSip Brewbox where we can come up, maybe we work with a artist to create a unique shirt design. And then we find some other small businesses out there, maybe in your niche to actually, you know, so we're all working together. And now we have five different businesses inside this brew box. And then we take that brew box and we identify, okay, where are you opening up that next store? Where are you trying to grow your brand? And we would identify that geographical location and we can run a whole direct-to-consumer campaign through our brew boxes to that area. And we have a whole B2B segment of our company where we could target businesses in that area around corporate gifting. So it's getting your message out in a unique way without, you know, having to spend a ton of money in advertising. And it's something that they get to hold and they get to use and they get to keep with them, as opposed to I understand the great things Google has done with all the Google AdWords and all that good fun stuff, but it's more than just getting someone to look at your website for 30 seconds. And maybe you don't even have the back end set up where you're capturing those emails and you're nurturing those leads. And a lot of small businesses, when I explain like an email sequence funnel, they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. I'm like, okay, so it gets them something in their prospects and their leads' hands where they can keep using that stuff. So that might be an answer, or we can use FirstSip Studios and actually create that content, that videography, that story. And also we have a whole photography arm of our business as well, where we can create that narrative. We can create that story. Maybe you just need video for social media. Maybe you need video for your website. Maybe you just need some logo animations. We can help with all of that. And it goes hand in hand with FirstSip Brewbox. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. We could do a campaign direct to consumer and tell that story visually on social media, that maybe you could, you know, do ads, create videos for your landing pages, like that kind of stuff. So it works all together. We also have a programming and like teaching and consulting arm of our business. We built out a whole program, the SIP program. Of course, everyone loves cool names, but it's spelled out SYP, Share Your Purpose. So it's a program that either a company can purchase for their team, for their internal team, or places like tourism bureaus, nonprofits, chamber of commerces may want to co-op or sponsor that program for their neighborhood or the businesses that are a part of them. So we launched that in the neighborhood where we're at here in Pittsburgh. We're in a small, it's a small little island surrounded by the city of Pittsburgh. It's a borough. They just said, hey, you know, we want to be our own thing. So they did it. We like that. So we launched it initially here 6 months ago. The SIP program is a 6-month program. The first month we actually go in there and get the business something tangible. We'll hear them out, hear how video and photography can help them. We'll create a video for that they can use on social media or their website. We'll do headshots, product photography, that kind of stuff for them. So that first month they get something tangible. They can start making money now. As you had mentioned, Maria, with working with small businesses, they can hear all the theory in the world, but their light bill is due in 3 weeks. So we built a SIP program for small businesses where we can then go ahead, get them something tangible. And the next 5 months after that, and it's tweakable, it doesn't have to be, you know, 6 month, 3 month, but how we have it set up the next 5 months, it's 2 hours a month where we sit down with them. We go in depth on a social media platform, how to leverage it for their business. And then we go ahead and teach them how to create their own content. It's great if they hire FirstSip Studios every month, But the goal is they need to be self-sufficient. They need to keep their pipelines full. So we pitched it to the borough that we're in, because everyone where we were where we are, they were not doing great at social media. They were posting maybe on two platforms, even the top 5%, maybe twice a week. And that's just not enough. So we taught them how to do all that. The next neighborhood heard about it. We launched it there. Now we're in talks with the entire city of Pittsburgh of launching it. And businesses are like, hey, can you, we just hired a few people onto our marketing team. Can we hire you to go ahead and teach them the SIT program so we can be more sustainable, and then maybe hire you for some of the bigger productions, things like that. So yeah, that's, we do a lot of stuff, but that's basically the flow. First SIP, what's your issues and how can we solve it through storytelling? Are we doing direct consumer, visual storytelling, or are you looking for us to teach and advise and help you create your own internal program?
I love that. I love that you came up with the real solutions that they really need. It's not this like imaginary, oh, you know, the reality is they don't have time and they don't know how simple things like social media posting is not simple for a business owner who is, you know, a shoemaker or a hairdresser. They're good at what they do. They're not, you know, as an example, right? Like when you think of small business owners. So tell me a little bit about what are the qualifications for somebody to be able to join. And what are the, like, do they have to, can they just come to the program? Do they have the options? Or is it like you have to get in and kind of go through these phases that you guys recommend?
Yeah, great question. So how we have it set up now, because we're also a small business, so we can't charge next to nothing. That it's not sustainable. Like you said, at one point you were spending money to help businesses. Yeah. Yep. So we still have our, So we still have our costs associated with the program. But what we do, we try to find those symbiotic relationships. We identify those problems. Like I said before, the municipalities, they have a business district. Their job is to help support that business district. So what they've done here in Mount Oliver, where we are right outside of the city of Pittsburgh, they were like, you know what? We believe in this program. We love it so much. We will sponsor 90% of the cost of the program.
I love it.
And then the small business, all they had to spend was just 10%. That's more approachable. And even then, some of the small businesses that we were helping, they're like, that's still, you know, a chunk for me. So we switched it around. We're all about doing this because at the end of the day, we want to help people. So what we have done for, like you were saying, you hit it right on the head, like barbers, salons, 10%, that may be, you know, that may have been like a whole utility bill or something for them. So what we have done is, you know, if that's too much for you, we work with nonprofits. How about you donate $250 in services to help families in need, to help, you know, that mom and dad to come in and get a haircut before that job interview. They might not have the money to go to a salon, but if you donate those services, we'll count that as services rendered and stuff as well, to give back to the communities that we are operating in.
That's a genius strategy. I love that, because now you're, you know, because I think what was hurting me as a small business myself too, and helping these other small businesses who really couldn't afford our services, was the fact, like, at the end, we just didn't feel like we felt like we're helping them. But at the same time, you know, like, it just, when they don't, not that we expected them to pay us for us to feel the gratification and feel productive, but it's almost like sometimes they take it, some take advantage and even ask for more and more. And there's just like, sometimes you just have to give and take. Like, you can't just take. You have to give also to appreciate what you're getting.
100%. And I
feel like if you're making them donate to a nonprofit by donating their time or donating their services, then it's whatever they're learning from you is going to be, you know, like they're going to take it serious. They're not going to just say, oh, well, whatever, it's free. Who cares? I don't care. Now they have to pay for it.
Right.
Some way by providing a service. I love that. That's
right.
Now, like you said, the SIP program is expanding. So are you now open to, I mean, it seems like you said you are, but I just want to confirm you're open to all kinds of businesses now. Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yes. And honestly, it doesn't even matter where you're located. We've had clients send us products to create content for them. And a lot of people don't understand this, but we can create videos that help share your story without ever picking up a camera. Wow. Without ever picking up a camera. There's so many unique video assets out there that we can utilize, commercial license, all that assets out there that we can utilize to help share your story. And we can, you know, record the audio and everything over Zoom, exactly similar to this.
Pull the
audio out and that kind of stuff. So it doesn't matter where you are. We want to make video production and creative storytelling approachable for all businesses. It shouldn't be a gatekeeping industry, which is a big issue with the industry. And us doing it, I get it. It's expensive. All the equipment we have wasn't cheap. I understand why video production companies spend, charge $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $100,000 to do a production. I understand, but there has to be a middle ground. And we think we found that by finding those symbiotic relationships where other businesses benefit from their other, entities in their community, driving in more attention, being more successful. And those larger entities are able to fund the SIP program so we can go ahead and help everyone else in that community because everyone will benefit from it.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, is the SIP program part of a for-profit company or is it part of a nonprofit?
It's a for-profit company. So a lot of the grants and the funding, that's why we work directly with nonprofits. So that way we can operate, they get all the funding. Yeah. We operate as a resource for them to divert that funding in a very targeted way.
Yeah. Have you thought about maybe opening up a nonprofit on the side just so you can take advantage of some of the government grants and the opportunities that are out there specifically for this?
I think it's a great idea. We're just not there yet. Because I know doing nonprofit, 501c3, all that, it takes a long time and you have to, we would have to hire someone that knows exactly how to do that. Because the last thing I would want is for us to try to do it and then we do something similar and then we have to spend even more money to get it done the correct way.
Exactly. And I think hyper-focusing on right now what's working and just, modifying that and making it more efficient is the key to success to anything, any project that you take on. Wow. Okay. I have so many questions, but I know we have limited time, but before we dive into more marketing and other questions that I have, please, if the listeners want to jump on board, whether they're from Los Angeles, New York, or just Pittsburgh, how would they get a hold of you? Where would they go? How would they sign up?
Great question. So they can reach out to me directly, Dennis@firstsipbrewbox.com, or check us out on social media. We're First Sip Brew Box is on 7 different platforms. So pretty much everything that you can think of, we're on. We post over 300 unique organic pieces of content every single month on we're even on TikTok. You can see us doing funny dances. You can see our dog. We have an office dog, our wonderful little beagle. So you'll catch her running around. And you can also reach out to Emma as well. Emma, can you share your email?
Yes. My email is emma@firstsipbrewbox.com. as well. And I can answer any media or communication anyone want to work with First Sip. Amazing. That's what I'm here for. So
awesome. Thank you guys. And we'll have all the details in our show notes as well, but I just want the listeners to be able to connect with you guys. Okay. So tell me about marketing, in this noisy space, especially post pandemic. It's a lot of the small businesses were forced to go online in order to survive. So it's really, really noisy. It's especially when it comes to paid media and Facebook ads and all of that, social media. Tell me what has worked, what you've seen success with, or just simply didn't work.
Absolutely. So a couple different things, but one, just to deliver as much value back to everyone out there listening as possible, you have to know your voice. And if you're a solopreneur or a very, very small team, maybe video's not for every, not maybe, video's not for everybody. Audio's not for everyone. Written form content's not for everyone. Figure out your voice, figure out what is best for you and your team and what your company wants to communicate in. Then once when you figure that out, double down on those platforms. I'm not saying don't create video content and that kind of stuff, but as you're getting started and as you're figuring out what's the best thing for your business, focus on what's the most comfortable piece, because that you're going to ensure that you're going to keep up with, you're going to keep going, you're going to refine your skills, you're going to get better at that. And then you can hire people as you grow to fill some of those other gaps. So with that said, some of the other pieces I've seen work very well. Two more things. One being, look, everyone should be on LinkedIn and TikTok. You have to be on there. Those are some of the last two platforms that are still experiencing ridiculous organic growth. A lot of the other platforms have slowly evolved into pay to play. Now with TikTok specifically, you might think, oh, that's not for my business. That's a bunch of kids on there doing dances. Yeah, Facebook used to be for college students.
Yeah.
Instagram used to just be for photographers. Mm-hmm. Everyone ages up. For your business, you need to take advantage of that organic growth, because two years from now, when that becomes a pay-to-play system and you didn't take advantage of it, don't cry. You know, people are telling you right now, you have to be on TikTok, find that content. A lot of, you know, movie stars, athletes, comedians, businesses are slowly all adopting and getting on TikTok. Find your voice on there as well. You could do a lot of really cool stuff. Now on LinkedIn, a lot of things that have been working for us specifically is identify number one, your industry of your business. Who do you want to work with? Mm-hmm. Stop. I don't want to say stop messaging and salesing in people's inboxes, because it's a numbers game. Like, eventually you will find someone who wants assurance and you will get somebody. But how many people are you turning off from that? Let's put a little bit more heart and hustle and work into that. Identify the people that you want to work with, connect with them on LinkedIn, go on their posts that they're doing, deliver value back on the topics that they're talking about, actually comment a thoughtful response, sit down, reflect, and think about what that topic is that they're posting about and comment something thoughtful. Do that for a while, like build an actual relationship and then ask.
Yeah.
Give, then ask.
Thank you. Exactly. And I think, you know, that's my biggest problem when small businesses, you know, they just expect for people to just help them, and that doesn't work. And even, you know, as you become a larger company, you still have to give in order to get. It's just the way it works. And yeah, I think that's a wonderful advice. LinkedIn has been interesting, you know, and I think, you know, if it's B2B especially, you have to be really thought out. And you mentioned something really important. You said know what you want to do, but then know who you're going after. And I want to come back to speaking about having a niche. You can't go after everybody.
Right.
You really have to focus on a smaller group. You don't want to be the small fish in a big pond, you know, or ocean lost with all the big sharks. They're going to eat
right.
Five. So focus on a small niche, figure out a model that works and everything. It's so funny. I always tell my team, come up with a business model within what you're doing, a system, come up with a system, then rinse, repeat. Don't try to do a million things at the same time and not do it well. And then at the end, out of 10 things you've tried, like 10 different strategies of reaching out to people on LinkedIn, come up with one messaging and short to the point, comment, whatever, build the rapport, you know, whatever. See if that doesn't work, then optimize, move on to the next. But people tend to do 10 different things at the same time. And then when you ask them, well, what worked? They're like, well, maybe this one a little bit, that one a little bit. Well, because you didn't really put 100% in one.
Right.
And optimize it, because maybe you were close. You just had to tweak a few things, you know?
Right. 100%. I see that all the time with the businesses that we're mentoring and we're advising and talking with. They will find out something that works, but they're still spending all their time on another category that's not performing as well. No, I'm not saying totally ignore that category, but the majority of your efforts should be spent on what is working, because that's what a business is. You have to create those systems in place that are repeatable and scalable, or else you don't have a business. You just have, you're gambling. You're just playing the lottery over and over and over again.
And the 80-20 rule applies for me in everything, not just for somebody who has a retail store and the, you know, 20% of their customers generate 80% of their revenue. I think it applies in everything. You just have to sort of stop and look at the numbers, look at the data. We live in a time where data is everything. If you don't analyze the numbers, what's the point of anything that you do, right? God, I have so many questions, Dennis. This is so fun. So video,
I love it.
Video is huge. Obviously, you know, I feel like video is the future. What advice do you have for small businesses? Oh, I'm sorry. Before we jump into small bit, well, no, I'm going to go back. I'm going to share that later. I'm going to make a note. But what advice do you have for small businesses when it comes to video marketing? Other than obviously you mentioned TikTok, and that's pretty much video marketing, in my opinion. But tell me a little bit about how, if they wanted to join and your program, and like, what would be the steps and what would be the budget range for them to think of or put aside so that they could start this amazing journey with you guys?
Great question. So if they're looking to get started with us, it's all based upon, you know, the size of the company, how many people are going through the SIT program, but we'll just say, let's just say it's a, you know, just mom and pop shop. Traditionally, the SIT program starts out around 3K. And then within that 3,000, we'll be able to create some video work for you. We'll be able to do some photography for you. And we can get creative. If you're a service-driven business, we get it. There's nothing physically tangible to take a photo of. You could just send us an empty box and we can use our imagination. But we can still create some storytelling and some graphics and some logo animations and help get your story out there with that. But where to start for these small businesses or businesses in general, it's really to identify why you want why do you want a video? Like, start there. What do you think a video is going to do for you? Because I apologize. Get out of here, phone. What do you think a video is going to do for you? Because if you just want one because your competitor has one,
right?
And that's fine if you have the budget and you can go ahead and do that stuff. But if there's so much other things that you need to be spending money on, then don't get a video. You need to be spending your money on other things in your processes. But if you can say confidently, if I get this video, I can drive foot traffic through ads back into my business, and this is what I think my ROI is, great, we can work with that. We can go ahead and help you come up with a distribution plan for that content and everything along there. So start there. Why do you want a video? And can you quantify what the ROI is going to be from that video? Because we can make a video for you know, most folks out there, but your heart has to be in it and there has to be a tangible reason. Now, let's say you wanted to do everything on your own, which is great. And I actually want everyone to try to learn how to do this stuff in-house for a couple of reasons. One, so you know what goes into making a video. So that way you could be educated around, when do I outsource this? So you know how much work goes into it. So you can, you know, create your own deadlines and that kind of stuff. You'll get better at planning as well. But it also helps you become a better storyteller. And this is why I tell folks, like, once when you put together, oh, and at first your videos are going to be terrible. There's no way around it. Your videos are going to be terrible. No one picked up a saxophone. All of a sudden they're playing concerts. Like, the videos are going to be objectively bad. When I look at ours back on YouTube years and years ago, oh my goodness, I should delete them. I should actually just burn down YouTube for even housing those videos. That's how terrible they were. But you don't know that when you start. Just slowly piece it together. But putting together your own video gives you a different outlook on life. It's like you piece life together differently. And I'll explain. So when you build a video, you have your visuals, but so much goes into sound design and recreating that emotion, that where you want to draw people's attention. Think of this. You're walking down the stairs. Next time you walk down the stairs, I want you to think about everything you're feeling and that you're hearing. You're walking down the stairs. It's an old house. You hear every creak with every foot that you make, your hand sliding down the railing. That window next to you is open. A breeze is slowly blowing in. You can hear that on your ring finger as you're walking down the railing. Your ring is sliding along the wood. As you get better at storytelling and creating a video, you see the world differently. You see what makes up every aspect of everything that you do. And I think that above all everything else is the best part about video marketing, when you're creating that yourself. And you'll get to a point where maybe it's not feasible for you to keep doing this internally, but it gives you a newfound appreciation on how unique life actually is. And you take less things for granted. So, I mean, I'm not saying video is going to change your life, but it's going to change your life.
I think you just changed my life with that whole, I just had the visual of me walking down the stairs and wow, I never thought of that. And you're right, because it's your opportunity to engage with the audience, and you do have to think of all these. And you made a good point that sometimes people don't understand how much work goes into something, and therefore they don't value, or if you give them this rate, of $3,000, they might say, oh, it's too much. But really, try doing it on your own. Try getting outsourcing independent contractors doing it. Most likely you're going to
right.
6,000 and still not be happy with it. So,
right. You're going to spend a lot more, and you don't get any of the education pieces that we deliver in the SIP program.
Thank you. I think that's definitely the added value right there. Wow. Emma, tell me a little bit about how you feel working for an amazing company like this. That's really changing the game for all the small businesses out there. I feel like you guys have the perfect solution. I can't wait to share this with my network of small businesses, by the way, Dennis.
Thank you. I honestly love it. Dennis and Sammy are great. I'm just saying that because he's listening. But they're the best. And I am actually a student as well. So it's they're very flexible. It's kind of cool when you have a small business, we've kind of worked around each other's schedules, and it's been really neat just to get in on some of these projects, right now, listening to other people that have small businesses or are helping small businesses and learning how they're doing that. And just picking up the tools on how to communicate with people. I've really learned that through Dennis, just sending out different communication, networks and different skills, writing grants. I've been gaining a lot of knowledge through, you wear several hats within a small business. And I'm really seeing that. It's been cool just to be a part of the process with everything that Sammy and Dennis have got going on. So
awesome. Do you guys, have you thought about SCORE, connecting with SCORE.org to share with them?
Yeah. So SCORE sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Zoom, it was just lagging a little bit. So we have thought about SCORE, but we haven't gotten to the point where we reached out with them yet and seeing how we can work together. I swear, there's not enough hours in the day.
I know, but I'll tell
you. I am jotting that down.
I think you should, I'll connect you with the LA chapter, which is huge. The director of the LA chapter, Nargis, there are a bunch of chapters around nationwide. So what you want to do is maybe start with SCORE in Pittsburgh and start there and do a webinar, and they might end up charging for the webinar, but it goes towards their foundation, obviously. And you do it for free, but it's an hour long. Maybe you could just kind of give them a quick little intro of video marketing and then let people know about SIP. But what you want to do ultimately is get in touch with the director of SCORE so that they can tell their mentors about you guys. And so when the mentors are mentoring small businesses, which is nationwide, that's all they do for free. If somebody needs a service like the service that you guys are offering, or they're a good fit for you, they can join. They can be aware of your program. I feel like that would probably help you guys a lot, because you do need to spread the word about this. And obviously another issue would be, how do you keep up with this growth, right? Like, you're probably, once you connect with SCORE, you're probably going to grow so rapidly, in my opinion. But then you have to worry about keeping up with the production.
Right. You are 100% right about that. And even now with the growth that we're experiencing within the last 60 to 90 days, we have grown. The last 6 months, it has went from me and my wife working in our home, out of our house, for the last last 6 years. So about 6 months ago, we had to go out. We got our own building, nice. Two floors. Nice. And then about 90 days ago, we have went from just me and my wife to a team of 9. So we have our core group, me and my wife, Emma and our 3 other employees. And then we have 2 university wow. interns. And we even mentor some folks out of high school that are looking to get into marketing as well. So we could probably house maybe another 2 to 4 folks here in the building before we're all on top of each other. But we already created a whole matrix of video editors, other photographers, cinematographers, all that stuff. So we already have a whole matrix of those folks that were ready to help us on projects that we have worked with before in the past. So we're ready. We're ready for some of that growth.
I love it. I love it. We're going to send so much business your way. And I would love to invite you to one of the webinars that we end up doing. Specifically for women-owned businesses in Southern California. I think it'll be huge for them to learn about your services, because it's been challenging for a lot of the businesses out there to keep up with all the changes that we're experiencing in the digital space. And obviously video and TikTok is huge too, but most people don't have time or the know-how. And so I'm so excited that you guys are the experts and we can all come to you for that help. And again, I know our time is, oh my God, I can't believe it's been 40 minutes already. Our time is up. And Dennis, one more time, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the website that they should go and connect with you guys?
Absolutely. So if you're looking to get a hold of this Dennis guy, you can find me at dennis@firsthitbrewbox.com is the email. You can hit our website up, firsthitbrewbox.com. We're across 7 social media platforms, all at First Hit Brewbox. And we have a couple lurking out there at First Hit Studios as we continue to grow out that segment of our business. So keep us in mind for corporate gifting, as well as the whole video production and storytelling.
I love it. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Emma, so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Our pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Please comment, like, and share. Want to reach us? Connect on social media @Maria with the Y.